listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Today's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news. When Christians Speak Talk Radio is a nonprofit ministry. We are dedicated to spreading the gospel of Jesus through our programs and special guests. We exist through the generous support of our listeners. If you are being blessed through this ministry and would like to give a love offering, go to our website and click on our donation page. Your donation will be processed through PayPal. Our prayer is that you may prosper, be in good health, even as your soul prospers.
Unto the Lord, for He is good. Yes, He is good.
When Christians Speak Talk Radio is a 501c3 nonprofit ministry, so all of your gifts to this ministry are tax deductible. So go out to our website, www.whenchristiansspeak.com, and click on our donation page.
Challenge to change, where transformation begins with you. Change appears to be one of the biggest hindrances to growth and relationships that I have encountered while in ministry. Our focus is usually on someone else and what they have done or are doing to us, instead of us being accountable to God and making sure we're not a stumbling block to ourselves or others. Challenge to change is about us taking personal responsibility for our Christian walk as we face challenges and issues and how to overcome them, through biblical tools and techniques that we will discuss on this show. Everything about this show is encompassed in us depending on the Holy Spirit to edify, enrich, and transform lives by introducing individuals to a personal encounter with God's unconditional love. That is where real transformation begins and ends.
There's rest there because you are there. So, Father, right now in the name of Jesus, we just come before your throne, washed in the blood of Jesus. I thank you for giving me the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might. Make me a quick understanding so I do not judge by what I see with my eyes or hear with my ears, but by what your Holy Spirit reveals to me. We thank you, Jesus, for your presence, and I ask you to be Lord over this ministry and all that is done here. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to anoint this time of prayer and ministry. We claim the blood of Jesus over this session for our protection. We proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord here and that this is holy ground. We take authority in the name of Jesus and the power of his blood and word and command all evil spirits to leave this property now. We claim this room sealed in the name and authority of Jesus. We bind and forbid any evil spirits on the outside from having any knowledge or influence in this room. We thank you that the battle is the Lord's, but the victory is ours. We thank you that you have the right to adjust, shift, change, move, do whatever is necessary to bring forth your glory, your power, your might, your dominion, your increase, your peace in every area of our lives. And we just call it manifested right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Awesome song, Sharon. Awesome song. Man, when you think about what he's done. Big Money said it doesn't take much. So, Father, we just pause right now. We just pause. We just pause. We just rest. We just stand in your presence. Just show us in a moment of time, we might have forgot what you did for us in the last week. And just take the time. We just enter into this place of rest. Where we're quiet enough, we're still enough, that we can see what you've done for us. We forget, but you never forget. So I thank you, Father, as I wave my hand in a moment of time. Throughout everyone who's watching, throughout the world, throughout those that are here, you're seeing an image of what he did for you this week. Might have just been this morning. And you forgot about it. And I just want those in the congregation to slip up your hand when he showed you something. I see one, I see two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. I see you.
receive. If guys, if you don't mind who are watching, go ahead and put it in the chat section what he did for you this morning or this week. Can I get a few people to raise their hand or somebody to come by with a mic? And Thor, if you can just cut the mic up so that way the people can hear it. Just what he did this week. I got one person. Go ahead.
My husband and I were on a road trip celebrating our 37th anniversary. And when we get on the road, we always pray for God's traveling mercies to keep us and protect us. Our families always praying for us. Pastor, we know that you were praying for us. We were on our way back from Savannah, and Ed was driving. He's an excellent driver. And we are getting on to the highway. And as we're getting on, there's an 18-wheeler or however many wheels it had on it, but it was a big truck. And he was thinking that that truck was going to veer off into the lane to the right, but it didn't. He's coming over towards the truck thinking the truck is going to leave the lane that he is in, but the truck stays there. And we slide down the truck. It actually turns my rear, the rear side view mirror on the passenger side where I was sitting. It actually closed it, and we scraped against that truck as we were going down the highway. I know that that could have turned out tragically, but God gave us mercy and he gave us grace and he protected us and kept us. There's a gash on that side view mirror now to remind us of God's goodness.
Y'all see an angel wing right there, right? Angel stood in between her, them, and the big 18-wheeler. Say, no, our daughter and our son coming back. Who else? He's faithful, man. Go ahead, Nicole.
This morning, usually I listen to worship music before I come to church, but the presence of God came in the car, and I've never experienced that before, to the point that I wanted to close my eyes, but I was trying. So I just was like, I'll make it to church, and I'll be okay. But I've never experienced the presence of God in the car.
Glory,
like that.
Glory. Thanks for sharing. We got another person?
Praise report that a certain person came to our house and was doing some work. And that morning, the Holy Spirit shared with me, I want you to witness to that person to make sure that he's saved. And I couldn't let it go.
Okay.
So I had the person to sit down on the sofa, and he received the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I know that he's saved.
Glory, glory.
And he said, is that all I have to do?
Glory.
I said, yes.
That's it.
I said, you're saved now.
Glory, glory. Yes. So you thought you were getting something fixed in the house, and what it really was about leading somebody to the Lord Jesus Christ. Anybody else? We got one right here.
Getting out of debt, and we had a credit card being paid off this week.
Oh, come on. Praise God. Glory. So you want to know what's love got to do with it? That's intimacy with God. A relationship with God where we can just stop everything that we're doing and just ask him to come in and just show us. Because sometimes we're so busy, we forget what happened this week. Just show us where he was, what he was doing. Because he never leaves us nor forsakes us. See, what we call him leaving us is when we didn't get the answer we wanted. So surely God couldn't have been in that. But he never left. So I'm talking about returning to our first love. And look at Jude verse 20. And in 20 and 21, just give me a moment to get myself to, because I'm with him. I'm there. He's here. Is there a statement? Okay.
Someone online said they had a doctor's appointment and they got the greatest report. Praise God.
Praise God. Thank you. Somebody online is watching. Said they had a doctor exam and it was a praise report. In Jude 20 through 21, it says, "But you, dear friends, carefully build yourself up in this most holy faith by praying in the Holy Spirit and standing right at the center of God's love." And staying right at the center of God's love. So let me break that down. "But you, dear friends," did he call you a slave? He called you dear friends. "Carefully build yourself up in this most holy faith by praying in the Holy Spirit." See, when we pray in the Holy Spirit, we're praying in perfect language. We're praying the perfect prayer. And God gave us that ability because he knew how we would pray. Sometimes we pray selfish prayer. Anybody ever prayed a selfish prayer? I see, yeah, amen. The whole car, everybody raised their hand. "Lord, strike them dead." That's selfish. That's selfish. Instead of, "Lord, bless them." Because he said, "Pray for those who despitefully used you." So we don't want to pray that prayer. So he said, "Okay, just pray in the Spirit." Because if you pray in the Spirit, he said, you're staying right at the center of God's love. See, you're not moving to the right of his love. You're not moving to the left of his love. You're in the center of his love. Y'all know how a storm, a hurricane comes? And they said, there's no power in the center. Because there's peace in the center. There's rest in the center. But when it starts to go to the edges, that's where the power starts, the destructive power. But it says, stay in the center of his love. So how do you stay in the center of his love? By staying in the center of his will. By allowing him to talk to you. When he tells you to forgive, he already took in. See, he already gave us everything we need to forgive. But we're trying to go back to the way we think. Just do it quick. Get it over with. Get it done. Because see, the person who hurt you, they already went on about their business. But we've been hindered by thinking that I'm not going to forgive them because I appear weak. How weak do you have to be to hang on a cross? When one of his last words was, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Come on. The last words you speak are the things that's most important. But let's stay in the center of his love. Keeping your arms open and outstretched, ready for the mercy of our Master, Jesus Christ. This is unending life, the real life. When you have your arms open, you're expecting something. That's what he's saying. Keeping your arms open and outstretched. You're ready for the hug. You're ready for him to hug you. In my session sometime, God will manifest himself in a certain way. And he always manifests because when I come, he's there. Because he's where. And so he'll just say, "Tell the client to open the arms so I can come in. Invite me in." And he'll come in there. And they'll fall back in the chair. They're already sitting up, but they'll just lay back in the chair. And I just chill out because I don't know how long it's going to take. And they'll just stay in the center of his love. But he's saying outstretched. Ready for the mercy. Now, mercy is when we don't get what we do deserve. We know we deserve to be struck down. We know we deserve to be in prison. We know we deserve to have the worst thing happen because of what we did. But he says, your arms are outstretched. Because that's not what you're going to. You're going to receive mercy instead of the penalty. This is the unending life. Meaning that once we leave here, we're in his presence. The absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Once we close our eyes in glory, that's where we wake up to. That's the real life. That's eternal life. So I covered on Thursday, and I'm not going to do a quick review. I stopped doing that. You know why? Because I recognize, why should I make other people pay for you not paying attention? See, God doing something to me. I don't know what he's doing to you, but I can tell you what he's doing to me. He said, if my word is precious enough, they take time for everything else. Why not me? So this is it right here. Becoming a living sacrifice. That's what I covered on Thursday. Now I'm going to today. Number two. This man's freedom, man. Listen to what he's telling us to do. We're carrying stuff that don't even belong to us. I'm carrying Teresa's stuff. I'm carrying Billy's stuff. I'm carrying Sally's stuff. That's not my stuff. Who's supposed to be carrying it? He does. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, in the New Living Translation says, "For God called you to do good." Let me read the whole scripture first, because y'all know I'm a metal. "For God called you to do good, even if it means suffering. Just as Christ suffered for you, he is your example, and you must follow in his steps." Now, we don't like to hear about suffering, do we? No. I got one honest person over there. We don't want, but he says suffer. For God called you to do good. So what are we supposed to be doing? So we're not doing bad. He didn't call us to bad. He called us to good. But check this thing out right here. It says, even if it means suffering. Now, the scripture says that make sure when we suffer, we're not suffering for doing wrong's sake. So if I'm overspending and the credit card come and I owe the bill and you couldn't pay it, see, that's suffering for your own sake. He's talking about suffering for his sake. You know what that means? Have any of y'all ever lost family members because you got born again? Anybody? Y'all kept family members? They talked nice about you? They didn't get up from the table and, oh, here come that holy roller? And when they accused me of that, I said, I am. You said it right, I am holy. Because I'm like my father. When you get pulled aside because you're told you can't pray. No, you can't pray here. Yeah, you're with somebody in a restaurant and they tell you you're talking too loud because they hear the name Jesus. That's what he's talking about, suffering. Suffering for standing up for righteousness, righteous sake. He's not talking about suffering because we did something wrong and then we go, of course we're going to call on Jesus, but we did it. That's the suffering he's talking about. Number two. Number one, what was number one? I gave you number one on Thursday. Anybody remember? Become a living sacrifice. Number two is follow in his footsteps. And what does that mean? Following in his footsteps means you do the same thing someone else does. So he just gave us one example where he says, suffer for my sake and walk in my ways. So this is what Jesus did. And so we're supposed to follow in whose footsteps? His. Jesus brought truth. Jesus brought truth. So when you come, you're supposed to bring truth. You bring truth to error. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the light. So let me give you an understanding. When truth comes, light comes. When truth comes, understanding comes. When truth comes, peace comes. When people are ready to receive. You follow me? So if Jesus brought truth, what are we supposed to bring? He connected us to the Father. So what are we to be doing? Connecting others to the Father. So Jesus said, he said it straight up. You pray to the Father in the name of Jesus. So when Jesus came and he died, he was the connector. Because he was the mediator between God and man. Now we can come straight to God by going through his Son. So what are we supposed to do? We supposed to tell people? We supposed to connect people to God? We don't tell them the 1,200 things they got to do. Just start out with, like what Madeline did, led the man to Christ in her house. Now, she could have received rejection. He could have said, what the blank are you talking about? I'm here to fix your air condition. But she took the risk, and he was glad. Because, see, in reality, guys, when we were wild, you know when you're wild. Don't you? I mean, is wildness a surprise to y'all? Was it a surprise to me? But somehow, someone was praying for me that truth came and allowed the light to shine. Say, Paul, there's a better life for you than this one. But we know when we're wild. He taught and prayed. He taught and prayed. So he made sure that the disciples that he brought forth, because he knew he was going home. He knew he was going home. So he wanted to make sure they knew everything they needed, Megan. And then he prayed for them. Now, understand what I'm saying? Someone's, I'm teaching you all, and I'm praying for you, so that when you go and you have situations and circumstances come up, you'll know what to do, because you've been taught. So if that's what Jesus did, then that's what we're supposed to do. I just don't see in Scripture where it says that you have to be a pastor in order to teach and to pray. Madeline's not a pastor, but she taught the man, and then she prayed for him. So I'm just talking about following in his footsteps. Because, you see, we need somebody to follow. Because, you know, guys, the most challenging thing about life is not to have a dream, not to have a vision. Because, see, that's why you want to stay in bed. But if you got something that's compelling you, when you wake up in the morning, it's like, Lord, what you want to do today? When I'm in praise and worship, I'm standing over there, and I'm asking the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, what you want to do today? It's your service. You just tell me what you want to do, and you got it. So if you don't have a vision, you don't have something that's bigger than you, then it's going to be easy to stay in the bed. Because what do I have to get up to? What do I have to get up for? Somebody don't know him the way you do. So you can be in the supermarket. You can be in the store. You can be in the movies. Just don't talk while the movie's going on. Because you know, you're going to get kicked out. I can tell you that. Day. But he taught, and then he prayed. And see, don't make this mistake thinking that children don't know how to lead people to Christ. Because these children from Generation J and J2, you heard them sing last week. They there. We got two that were going through school, and we keep them over the house. And we got them set up, buddy. One every time at 12. 12 is lunchtime. And they know how to tell time. The first grader know how to tell time. She know 12 o'clock is lunchtime. So when lunch comes, I mean, my girl look at her iPad, and she looks at her computer, and then she looks at our clock on the microwave. Miss Kelly, it's 12 o'clock. She only has to say it's lunchtime. But it's lunchtime. But then what they do is they look at each other, whose turn to pray today? And we shut down everything. I mean, when they pray, they blessing the food. But they remember that on Monday she prayed, on Tuesday, your turn to pray. We don't have to pray no more. Well, you mean to tell me somebody that young that knows you're supposed to bless your food can't lead somebody to Christ? You teach, and then you pray. This is something else that Jesus did, because we're supposed to be following in his footsteps. He equipped, and then he released. I'm equipping you so that I can release you to do what God has called you to do. That's what he did with the disciples. He taught them. He told them, this is what you need to do. But now I'm going to release you. Because see, I'm getting ready to go home. This is Jesus talking, not me. I want to make it clear, Porter. That's her. That's her. He equipped. He taught them. When they came to him and they would ask him questions and stuff like that, he would answer their questions. Because one day, he's going to be in glory. But he released them. So now go into all the world and teach the gospel. The gospel is the good news. People don't need to know how bad it is, bad they are. Teach them how good they can be. But if they could do it by themselves, we wouldn't need them. Any of y'all pull yourself by your bootstraps and just decided you're going to be good? Yeah, you call on Jesus. Something else he did, he walked on the water. And see, remember what I said about equipping and release? Who was that watched him? Was it Peter that watched him walk on the water? That was Peter? See, I taught y'all because y'all remember it. I didn't. Okay? But that's why you're supposed to be able to call on somebody. I ain't got to know everything. I just got to know him. So Jesus walking on the water because the boat was out there. He said, well, I got to get to the boat instead of them coming to me. I'll just walk to it. So he walking on the water. And then Peter said, bid me to come on the water. What Jesus supposed to say? Nah. Now, he didn't already taught him about miracles, right? So everybody else, what y'all think the guys on the boat was thinking? He ain't ready for this. So Peter stepped out on the water. Remember a few weeks ago, and I needed to straighten this out. The Bible don't tell you everything. That's what I said, remember? I said that. So what I meant by that is the Bible doesn't tell you about the emotions that were on the boat because he figured out as you read the thing, you would be able to determine what your emotions would be. Because you had some brothers and sisters, they on the boat, and they said, let's see, water, boat, safety. So Peter, Jesus had to say, come on out. So Peter started walking over there. But can y'all say, now the Bible didn't say this. Man, what you doing? You walking on water. You can't walk on water. You're going to sink, man. He Jesus, you not. He had to listen to something. Because Jesus told him to come. What are you believing for that he's telling you to come? So he just walked on the water. He did it. And then he started to look at the situation instead of the master. But at least he did it. The other guys, we're not talking about them, are they? They just said the guys in the boat. See what else Jesus did? He opened blind eyes. Now, he don't do anything the same way. So when this guy blind, and he just spit on the ground. He reached down, mixed the mud up a little bit, plucked it on his eyes. How many of y'all? I know Jazz would. How many of y'all would say, no, Jesus, I'm going to stay like this? How do I know germs not in that mud? Porter, that's what she would have said. No. Jesus, what you doing? Because remember, she couldn't see. Person couldn't see. No, Jesus. You put that on next person. A blind person, come on over here. Jesus got some mud for you. And then another example is the blind man hears that Jesus is coming by. Now he's hollering, Lord Jesus, have mercy on me. Lord Jesus, have mercy on me. I'm just talking about following in his footsteps. Somebody should be able to rely on us to be able to see. And Lord Jesus, have mercy on me. And then the people that surround him who have their sight tell him, you need to shut up. Now he got a choice. Do I listen to what they are saying and they can see? Or do I continue to holler because I can't see? Guys, that's why I got a problem. I got a problem when it's your time to get your healing. You concerned about the visitor that you asked to come? Or the things you thinking to you in your head? Because this is my opportunity. This is my chance to see. And the guy just got louder. He got louder. He got so loud that it caught Jesus' attention. See, we don't have to scream to get God's attention. I might be screaming now because I'm just excited. but he want to see. Jesus asked, so you want to see? Boom, there it is. So now he can shut up because he got what he needed. But I'm not leaving his presence until I get what I need. You don't need to leave his presence until you get what you need. But you ain't got to beg for it. He want to give it to you. But don't allow other people who have what you're believing for to discourage you. Well, how long have you been waiting for this? I got mine in a year. It's 5 years and you still don't have yours. Well, God is a personal God. I don't fit under your criteria. I fit under his. I'm just talking about let's follow his example. He unstopped deaf ears. He spoke to them. Now, I'd never done that before, but a few weeks ago, I told y'all about I was in Covington and so forth, and a friend of mine went down to his house because I heard the neighbor was telling me. See, I like it when you get two bangs for one. So we think we there to see the house torn down, our home place and stuff. And no, God always has a second plan. And I laid hands on the guy's ears, did exactly what I saw Pastor Parson do when I was a member at Richmond Christian Center, told him to hear. Next thing the guy do, hey, he's starting to hear. But I was just following in his footsteps. Now, can I share with y'all, remember I said you can go in your head? Y'all know about going in your head, right? Now, Paul, that's what the devil say. Well, but Paul. That's how the devil talk. He ain't bold. He real, what's the word I'm looking for? Wimpy. He real wimpy. He said, Paul. Now, what happens if you lay hands on his ears and he don't hear? And I was just talking to Nicole earlier this morning. I go quick. I said, shut up. So then he tried to come back up again. Paul. Now, you know he's going to tell people if he doesn't hear. So I wait 1 second. It's in the name of Jesus. See, you want to move when you ain't got nothing to do with it. So if you're going to tell me what God can't do, I'm going to move to show my Father that I trust him. Notice I ain't trying to prove nothing to the devil, to Satan. Because what we know about him? He already defeated. See, if you're already defeated, you already kicked on the ground. Your clothes already stripped out. Because when Jesus went to hell for us, he stripped everything. So your boy walking around in the nude. I don't hear where it says he got his clothes back. So what you do is you want to enforce his defeat, Sharon. You want to enforce it, not prove it. He's already defeated. You just want to prove that your Father will do what he said he's going to do. So then the guy could hear, eyes got big. And so then I told you about how his leg was about 4 inches different. Lay hands on his leg. Because he said, this is what my father said when I follow his footsteps. He said, speak to the mountain and tell it to be removed. So we need to speak to situations and tell them where to go. You follow what I'm saying? You got to speak to it. You speak to everything else. You speak to the y'all ever been at movies with people and invite them over your house and they talk to the movie? Movie not talking back to them. They talking, Porter. They're talking to the movies. I got somebody in the back pointing to his wife over there. Talking to the movie. We speak to everything else. Why don't we speak to the circumstance? Why don't we speak to sickness? Why don't we speak to lack? I don't care what time the devil try to wimp you and come to you at night when you sleep and rest, and you speak to it. Tell him where to go. You look for somebody and say, go to hell, tell it. Just tell it. Boy, you live there anyway, don't you? But he made the lame walk. That's what I'm talking about, that young man that would try to play basketball, and because his legs was 4 inches shorter than the other, when he grabbed the ball, he would fall because of the difference. He wasn't lame, but he had challenges walking. But I just did what I followed in my father's footsteps. Then he fed the hungry. See, Friday night, for some cultures, it's fish night. Yeah, y'all know what I'm talking about. So, you know, he'd be hungry, man. How many people was out there? We just say 5,000. We're going to just 5,000. Was it 5,000? 5,000. And so, you know, the disciples said, you know, Jesus teaching the guys. Say, look, this is what you're supposed to do. Somebody comes to your home, you feed them. And they said, well, can we go to Kroger? Can we got time to go to the store? And he said, no, you got anybody here that got some fish and some bread? So that little boy came over. And see, this is what happened, why you need to be thankful. Thankful multiplies what you already have. Complaints take away what you already have. So when I'm thankful for what I already have, it multiplies. Jesus grabbed the basket and he blessed it. Thank you, Father. And it multiplied. And see, this is the thing where if you read in the three translations, you see that it was more left over than what the boy brought with him. Now you think about that. Can anybody use more than what they have? Then you start thanking them for it. Start thanking them for your finances. Start thanking them for your house. Start thanking them for your car. You got to patch the car up, you still thanking for it. You wash the car. Keep it clean. Because to them that have shall be given. So he fed the hungry. You ever fed the hungry? Go be in the line. You in the line. Just listen, Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do? He said, feed the person back there. And don't go long drawing and talking and all that kind of stuff. Bless the food with the man or the woman and go on about your business. Well, I give you the food provided that you accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. See, Paul planted Apollo's water, but God is the one going to give the increase. So, see, I don't have to figure out everything while I'm there. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to listen to what he told me to do. He said, feed the people. Hey, look, you know, I just like to bless you today. Well, they know the average person don't say bless you, right? I just want to bless you today. So you go ahead and get what you want to get and so forth, and I got you covered. Now, I just plant it. Now, somebody else is going to water. I might never see them again, but I was obedient to what he called me to do. See, we just want to see everything. But if you can see everything, that's not faith. Uh-oh. I'm just talking about following in his footsteps. Then he raised the dead. Y'all heard me talk about my mom. We in Richmond, mom in Covenant, 3 hours away, died in the hospital. Got a call from my sister, say, mom dead, and I say, can't be. Oh, wait a minute. I didn't put time in for the devil right there. I said, can't be. My wife and I agreed that mom would live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. So my sister called me back in 45 minutes, said they don't understand it, but mom just came back to life. How many minutes? When are you supposed to have brain damage? After about 5 minutes, mom told the people, she said, I want to go home. They said, well, you're supposed to be dead, so you can go anywhere you want to go. My wife and I, we just had Jasmine, little baby, and so, well, we really botched that one up, though, because, I mean, we packed clothes for everything but her. I mean, but us. All we had was the clothes on our back. We had to go shopping to get clothes, because we never traveled with a baby. Went home, visit my mom. We got there. And what time we got there, mom had drove up. I mean, someone drove her. And then we live on a hill. And so she started to walk down. They started to help hold her. Where's that? It might have been Tim. And so what happened was she said, let me go. And mom could be a little forceful. Y'all know, y'all ever hear mama could be forceful? She'd be like, push the hands away. She said, I'm going to walk down these steps. Because she knew those were her last walks. So she walks down the steps and come on in. And fast forward, it's nighttime. It's about 10, 11 o'clock at night, and we exhausted, you know, 2-week-old baby and not sleeping, but anyway. So Curly said, I'm going to go ahead up to bed, and my mom started talking. And as she's talking, she just you can just see concern on her face because she knows she's getting ready to go. So she says, started asking me questions. One thing led to another. Next thing I know, she said, there's a demon sitting beside you. And I said, what? She said, there's a demon sitting beside you. She raised her voice. There's a demon sitting beside you. I say, in the name of Jesus, I command that demon to leave right now. And see, I'm thinking the louder I yell, the quicker the demon going to leave. In the name of Jesus. And I walked him to the door. Because, guys, I'm going to tell y'all something. You got to do natural things to manifest spiritual presence. But, see, we want to be too spiritual about that. So I felt like if I can't see him, if I walk him to the door and I'm using the name of Jesus, he got to leave. So as soon as I walked him to the door, he went out. How do I know? Because she said, there's Jesus. There's Jesus in the living room. Then I'm really looking. But I can't see him. But she can see him. So then she started talking about, she said, boy, I want to be assured of my salvation. So I led my mom to Christ. Now, she might have been there before, but for her to ask, what am I going to do? But, mom, you married to a pastor. Shouldn't you be born again? See, we want to go wrong way when we're supposed to go right way. Just shut up and do what's being asked. That's right. I don't have no children here. I can say shut up. So I led her to Christ, and she's laid on that bed, boy. And it's like, by this time, it's about 2 o'clock. And I called the family. I said, look, mom's starting to see people that already passed. If y'all want to see her alive, I suggest you come on in. So this 2 o'clock in the morning, went upstairs, went to bed. Then Madeline, it's 10 o'clock in the morning, about 10:20, and I always watch the Christian show come on at 10:30. And I think Madeline called me and said, Paul, come in. And I came in, and my mom's face was, she was laying on the bed sideways, and her face was twisted like this. She had had a stroke. And I got down in her face because the name of Jesus is above every name. I got down in her face, and I said, I command your face to be straight, and that stroke to leave. Her face just went straight. Everything just went smooth. And I got in her face, and I said, Mom, go head home. And instantly she left. She was gone. But the best way I can describe it is, it's like a water in reverse, you know, like a pond, and it's you know, something fell in it, and it's wrinkly. And when I said, go head home, Mom, it just went smooth. But one thing I can tell you about the spirit realm, she didn't say, Paul, make sure you take care of the house. She didn't say, Paul, make sure you divide this up with your brothers and sisters. When I say go home, she left. We have authority. See, we you don't have to suffer in death. I don't care if somebody say you got cancer. There's a place where when you're ready to go, you can go. And she left. So I'm just telling you guys, I saw him raise the dead, and I raised the dead. That's how you got to be. Don't try to figure it out. Sometimes just do it. And that's a Nike thing. Just do it. You know, if he wants us to do something, just do it. Don't try to figure everything out. But check this out. He transcends natural laws. He commanded the winds and the waves to be calm. He spoke to him, Sean. He just said, look, be calm. We've had events before where we commanded the rain not to show up. You raise your hand, y'all encountered that before, where you spoke to it. And then, you know, they say, well, the weather reports say 90%. But Jesus said, I have authority. And so you speak to it, and it's like, you know, when you start to pack things up, start raining. And you got special people. This is what special people say. See, I told you it was going to rain. And guys, don't waste your time talking back to them. So number 3, and I'm going to start with this. What was number 2? Following his footsteps. Number 3, God loves people. And I'm telling you guys, if you're a believer, if you're a Christian, and you don't love people, you need to ask Jesus to transform your heart. Because he loved people. People might have hurt you. Yes, they did. How many have been hurt by people? There it is. Everybody in here. Everybody that's watching. Okay, somebody in here say a plethora of people we have hurt. And in case you don't know, plethora means many. But you got to love people, guys. If they hurt you, forgive them. But when I talk about forgiveness, I'm talking about forgive them. You don't have to hang around them, but forgive them. Because Jesus said, I'm going to tell you what Jesus said, because Christians can get kind of special. He says, mark those who cause division. Now, if I know you causing division, you marked. Does that hinder me from speaking to you, smiling to you, talking to you, praying with you? But just don't be surprised if you know they cause division. That's all they got. Because the scripture says that some people can't even go to sleep until they have created havoc or chaos. Spend less time with them. When they say, let's go somewhere, you say, I'll drive. I mean, but you still drive, but I'll drive. Because see, after you pray with them, they'll still talk about you. Because they can't go to sleep. Because they got to have the chaos. But he said, mark those who cause division. Don't hang around with them, speak to them, smile. If something going on with the family, you go, but always have an exit plan. You ain't running, but you're seeking peace. But see, even Jesus walked through the crowd because like, okay, they acting a little special. I'm walking on. You're not there to fix this thing, guys. They're not ready for the fix. God, Jesus, Paul planted, Paulos watered. I just wanted to make sure you understand that you might not see the increase, but it's not your responsibility to see it. It's your responsibility to believe that you did what God told you to do. So, Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I just thank you. Thank you that this is the day that you've made and we made a decision to rejoice and be glad in it. We just thank you that we're learning more about what love has to do with it. It's called intimacy with you and just learning to do the things that only you can do. We thank you that we have the ability to rest in the fact that we speak your word and we invite people to come into the life that we live as Jude was talking about being in this place, this eternal life. And it's a relationship. I will pray different than someone else prays. I will talk different than someone else talks, but that's how individualized you are with us because it's a relationship. So if you're out there and you want to know the relationship that we're talking about, the joy, the rest, the peace, the victory, then just repeat after me. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. Your word says, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus, I call on your name now. I ask you to come into my heart. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Therefore, according to your word, I am now saved. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. Guys, just go to chosenrva.com and you can go to new members. And that takes you through four lessons about receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And that's all you need to do. Amen.
This concludes today's message on Challenge to Change, where real transformation begins with you, with Pastor Paul Morgan. If you are ever in the Richmond, Virginia area, join Pastor Paul for Sunday service at 10 a.m. at Chosen Generation Ministries. The website is www.chosenrva.com or call at 866-333-9505.